This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonnette. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you in part by Acme Party and Tent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Nope. Now we're back.
Now you're back.
Really?
Maybe a little bit hot.
Really? You had a perfect name going, and now, boom.
What's up, fellas?
The Q-Dim Show. Q-Dim's in the house. What's up, Quinn?
What's up, man? Who picked that beat? Who picked that song?
That's probably Jung. Jung, this was your choice?
My man.
It was my choice.
Yeah, Quinn likes it. You did good. You did good, buddy.
So, how hard is it for you to sit there and watch something like that knowing you can't get on the field?
It was bad. I mean, it was, you know, it hit me. It hit me during pregame warm-ups, you know, when Gruden was talking. You know, it sucks, man. I stayed back, too, so that makes it even worse.
Oh, you didn't even go up?
Yeah,
you didn't take the flight?
Yeah, no.
Oh, good for you.
I thought it was better for me to stay here.
Hell yeah.
You know,
just think if you would have had to be on that flight home.
Right.
I mean, that's a depressing scene. It had to have been.
Yeah. And flying is just not good for injuries.
You know, no. So. Well, give us an update. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row. I know you were hoping to miss no games.
Right.
Turns out you've missed two so far.
Yeah.
Where are you? What's it feel like now? And how close do you think you are to being back?
Yeah. So I'm getting better every day. I think I kind of hit, you know, over the hill last week. So, you know, staying here, getting my rehab definitely put me over the top. And so, kind of day to day, man. Hopefully I'll be back next week.
You know, we've seen this a lot with this team, and I've kind of complained about it. Sometimes I think that they maybe go with what the player says on when they're ready to be back. And you guys, I mean, players want to play. That's what you guys do. You want to go out there and make things happen. Yeah. So, of course, you're going to say, I'm ready. What's the process like for you to be cleared? Like, is there a doctor who has to say, yep, he's 100%, or can you just say, Doc, I'm ready to go. I feel good. Everything's right. Because they rushed J.J. back, he's gone. You know, I think they rushed Derek Newton back, he's gone. You know, and we've seen this with Brian Cushing in the past. It's been a lot of things. What's the process like of getting cleared to play? Or is it just tell them when you're ready?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. I think they do a good job of, you know, kind of, you know, filling us out. But at the same time, we got to let them know how we feel. You know, and, you know, I trust them. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. I think, you know, I'll be back, you know, as soon as I can, for sure. Definitely miss playing.
It's got to be a hard thing because you want to be on the field and you want to rush out there. But you also need to protect yourself, especially because something like that, the just terrible that happened to Derek last night. I mean, that's, you know, that could be his career there. And how tough is it to balance those two things?
Yeah, I hate that happened to Derek, too, man. That's pretty tough. I think, both patella tendons or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty tough, man. I wish him well. But it's tough, man. It's part of the game, though. You know, it's something that we signed up for. It's one of those things, man, you can't never really prevent an injury. You know, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's a freak accident. You know, we just got to hope for the best each and every week and go out there, man, and play hard.
So when you're watching that game last night and, you know, obviously the secondary is thin. You know, the injuries have kind of caught on to them. They lose Boye, who was actually playing pretty well, I thought, early in the game. I thought that he was doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And right when I said it out loud, he gets hurt and he's off the field.
Yeah.
I think Moore got hurt maybe two plays later, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, as you see that unfolding and you know who the next man up is, and do you start to think that there's a breaking point coming for this? I mean, you guys are running out of enough bodies to compete at an NFL level. I mean, because the other team has NFL guys, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, real good players.
Mm-hmm.
But do you start to see that tipping point coming to where, man, we're running out of guys?
Yeah, but I'm a player, so I view it as opportunity. You know, I think the backup's got to be ready. Again, I think, like, being a backup is the hardest job in the NFL because you got to study and prepare, but then you might not even play.
Yeah.
You know, and then the week you don't study and prepare, you up.
And you're coming in cold.
You got to play well. You know, are you going to be cut or benched or whatever? So, but I think it's opportunity, man. You know, we hate injuries, you know, for sure, but sometimes you can't stop them. You know, sometimes they pile up on you and the guys, you know, the backup's got to be ready. Got to come in and show what they got.
How hard is it, you know, when you're watching that game last night and, and you're seeing them run the football the way they were? It is in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Man, I could have made that tackle. I could have stopped that play and maybe stopped that drive and turned things around a little bit." Do you think that when you're watching?
Yeah, not in the sense of, you know, if I was there, I'm the savior type thing, but you know, just in a sense of my ability that you know, especially when it comes out to the right side, I play the right safety a lot. You know, I put myself in a position where, you know, what I would have done, you know, or whatnot, man. But, again, it's 11 of us on the field, you know, and so we all got to do a better job. I would have helped out, sure, but, you know, at the end of the day, we got to do a better job.
How much different is it watching your own team on TV versus when you're on the sideline? What do you pick up? Do you pick up more being down there, or do you actually see things differently watching it on TV and maybe pick up a few tips that you can use?
That's a good question. I think you know, being in the action, actually knowing what the call is on the sideline kind of helps out. You know, whereas on TV, you really don't know what they're in. You know, sometimes you got to guess, or, you know, kind of just put your own little things together. But I think being in the mix, man, being on the sideline, knowing what the call is, seeing the guy's energy, you know, being able to say something to a guy that you saw that he may not have seen at the previous series, to, you know, I think that's more profound for sure.
How much time did you spend around the team this week helping the guys who were replacing you, just kind of being a mentor? How much did you get to do that?
Yeah, well, you know, I go about my normal day, normal routine, outside of going to practice. You know, so I'm in the meetings, and I'm in the meetings before practice and after practice, you know, kind of just giving tips, sitting back, just watching, you know, paying attention, taking notes as well. You know, staying in it, you know, keeping my mind, my preparation, the same thing, because, you know, you don't want to get too far out of it. You know, I don't care how many weeks you miss. So I try to stay up on it, man, and be a pro.
I believe, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, you'll probably tell me I'm wrong because it's the politically correct thing to do. But, you know, even going back to high school, the offense and defense have different meetings. They're separated a lot at practice.
Right.
It's almost at some point it becomes a team within a team.
Okay.
And when you see the offense struggle the way that it has, do you find yourself in obviously it's still your teammate, and it's not the way you should be feeling, but do you find yourself being frustrated with the offense going the way it is, and basically making to where the defense has to play a perfect game to have a chance?
I think it's called accountability. You know, I think that's the word that comes to mind when you say stuff like that. You know, I think it goes both ways, man. I think we got to help each other out. You know, OB talks about, you know, playing good football in all three phases, and so that's what we got to do, man. I think at the end of the day, man to man, you got to look at yourself in the mirror, critique yourself, and be your own, you know, your own worst critic, and be held accountable. If your teammates say something to you, you got to take it with a grain of salt and get better.
Are there guys on that defense who are willing to go up to Brock Osweiler and talk to him about his struggles and maybe try to help him? What does it take, a guy like Will Fork or J.J. Watt, somebody like that? Who's able to do that?
Yeah, no, we don't do that in our locker room. I think that's kind of like, I think something like that is kind of like pointing fingers. I think if a defensive guy goes to an offensive guy, you know, that's a cancer in the locker room. I think, you know, they have enough leadership on that side. D. Brown, you know, Newton, you know, even Brock, you know, Lamar, guys like that, Hop. And so we don't go on that side of the ball. You know, we stay on our side of the ball. You know, we're all a team, but we focus on ourselves first because we gotta help them out as much as we can, and they gotta help us out too. And even on special teams. You know.
Who's the guy on defense that when somebody's not doing their job, who's the guy that says something to him? Who's the vocal leader of that defense?
You know, Vince is a big time vocal leader. I think we rely on him. JJ, of course, he was a vocal leader. JJ in the secondary, me, myself in the secondary. Cushing, you know, we have a few guys.
Is it difficult, and you bring up Cushing, who's struggled the last several games, and most of the season, actually. I still don't think he's 100% healthy. But is it tougher for him to go critique someone when he's not playing his best, or is it? Do you go up and say, you know, I know I'm not doing my best either, but here's something I see that I think you could work on.
So you think he struggled,
Cushing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How?
How so? I think he's slow. I mean, I'm talking about relative to.
Yeah. So are you watching the game or watching the game film?
I watch all 22 every week.
How?
There's the internet.
Nice.
You think you're the only one who has that action, boss?
So
we've all got it now.
Okay, so that's your opinion.
It is.
He's struggling. So your question is, does he tell somebody else to pick up their game.
Can he do that? Like,
that's tough. Like, just, you know, just being a human, that's tough. When you when you're stinking and somebody else, you can't go tell anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just tough as a human being. You know, but you know, as football players, we know. You know, like me personally, I wouldn't do that. And
okay.
And Kush wouldn't either.
You just got to be quiet when you're struggling.
Look yourself in the mirror first before you go, you know, talk to somebody else. I think we all like that in locker room. That's how we have a good locker room.
You heard our conversation with Jerome, and he's talking about the secondary struggles, and he's talking about guys like Charles James who struggled quite a bit again last night.
Yeah.
He's one of the young guys on that team. Mm-hmm. Do you feel... The veterans, especially the veterans in the secondary, yourself, J. Joe, Kareem, do you guys feel a need to pick him up and kind of keep it from getting away from him, so to speak?
I think he played a good game last game.
I think if Demaryius Thomas doesn't drop a ball, there's seven more points on the board.
You can't say that.
I mean, he got beat by about four or five steps.
But he dropped it.
He was almost out of the play.
Listen to me. No, in this league, no catch, no win.
Okay.
He lost, right? So we can't even say that.
But that's not something you want to keep a habit of, right?
Right. No question. You don't. For sure. For sure. But I think people see struggles and, like, it's 16 games in a season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're not going to win every game. How rare is that?
Oh, it's incredibly
rare. So the games you lose, you're going to play bad, right?
Most of the time, there's different levels of bad, though. You have to admit, last night was worse than a regular bad game.
For who?
For the Texans.
Why was it worse? It's 9-14 in third quarter.
Do you know how many quarterbacks in this league?
It's 9-14 third quarter.
Do you know how many active quarterbacks in the league have had games mm-hmm. where they threw 40 pass attempts mm-hmm. and had under 150-yard passings?
Right.
Do you know how many in the league have that?
Not many.
Two. You know who they are?
Rookies.
They're Brock Osweiler.
Oh.
And Brandon Weeden.
Teammates.
They're the only guys in the whole NFL who have ever had a game where they threw the ball 40 times and failed to reach 150 yards. Yesterday was an abysmally bad game, especially for the offense.
But it wasn't, because it's 9-14 late in the third quarter. A big-time turnover.
Okay.
And the game changes.
But the big time turnovers happen from the other side.
Right,
Alfred Blue fumbles.
Right, that hurt us.
Brock Osweiler fumbles.
Turnovers.
But, I mean, the 9 points and the struggling to move the ball, I won't say it was a horrible game defensively. I think they could have been better against the run than they were.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, you can't get much worse of a game.
We had a bad game.
Okay.
All three.
So you would say that there are different levels of bad games. Because I would argue that you guys had a bad game against the Colts.
But
you won.
Okay.
So that's like this level of a bad game. Mm-hmm. The game last night, which, I mean, listen, when you lose a game like that, it's never going to be
So let's break it down in quarters.
Okay.
We had a bad two quarters. I say bad two quarters.
I think offensively they had a bad four quarters.
All four quarters were bad?
I think so.
I think they're okay. If you don't get in the end zone,
I mean... Isn't that the whole name of the game?
It's a National Football League.
I know.
It's not that easy. You don't just catch your fingers and score a touchdown.
I understand, but
against a good defense.
But he's getting paid $17 million to score touchdowns.
But he's not by himself. It's 11 of them.
Oh, they're all getting paid pretty good.
So we got to block, catch, run, throw.
So we're going to spread the blame around.
No. I'm saying, like, yeah, the blame's on a team. It's not on Brock.
Okay.
It's not on Brock.
So as you're watching that game last night, you're thinking, oh, this is a decent offensive performance. You can't possibly be thinking that.
Third quarter is 9-14. All right. I'm a realist, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect 9-14. But if we don't fumble, I think we win.
Outside of about six, seven minutes into the first quarter,
yeah.
Did you ever feel like the Texans were playing better than the Broncos were?
That's a good question. That's a fair question.
Because I would say, besides that 6 or 7 minutes...
I think it's about even.
You think the rest of, like, outside of that 6 or 7 minutes, you think it was about even?
Say it again.
So, I'm saying, I thought the Texans were the better team for about the first 6 minutes of the first quarter.
All right.
I think for the rest of the game, the Broncos were played a better game. Do you agree with that assessment?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't agree.
Okay.
I disagree.
All right.
I disagree.
Hey, if you're being real, that's all I can ask from you.
That's it, right?
That's it. That's all I can ask from you.
All I see is this. I see 9-14 third quarter, right? Mm-hmm. National Football League. I'm a player myself. 9-14 in third quarter. We got the momentum. We're driving the ball well. You know, and a turnover happens. I think that kind of changes the momentum there at home, you know, and it begins to make our flaws poke out more. But I think if we go down and score, everything changes.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, that's life, though, right? If it was a fifth. But, you know, we didn't play well. I'm not saying that we didn't play well, but I don't think we played terrible.
Okay.
I think it's some positives. I think Blue did a good job running the ball.
What game, and it's difficult for you to say because you didn't play in this one, but of the three losses this year, the Patriots loss, the Vikings loss, and this one, which one do you feel you guys played the best in, and which do you feel you were the least competitive in?
We probably played the best in the Broncos.
Okay.
Least competitive, probably the Vikings.
Okay. No, that's fair. Well, like I said, I'm just going to ask.
Vikings in New England probably tied.
I ask you for an honest opinion.
We didn't show up at all.
Okay.
Right. I think we fought.
You thought last night was better than those other two games?
No question.
Okay.
No question.
That's fair.
You disagree?
No. I think all three were really bad.
Right. No question.
But
because we lost or because?
Because
of stats.
Well, the Vikings game, it never even felt like you guys belonged on the same field, to be honest. I'll say that one was a different level of frustration because the Vikings don't really have any good players on offense. They had Sam Bradford and Matt Asiata, and they were missing literally
Thielen.
Tons of starters. Yeah, they were missing a ton of starters, and they still kind of had their way. So to me, that was the worst. The Patriots. Listen, there's a lot of teams that get blown up by the Patriots. That's the NFL. Mm. But then I felt like coming into this Broncos game, I didn't feel the Texans were playing their best ball recently, but I also thought the Broncos were maybe not the same Broncos as last year, so there was maybe a chance that you guys could exploit that.
Yeah.
And I guess I was disappointed that it didn't happen. Right. And my disappointment was mostly, again, with Brock Osweiler in the passing game. I feel like
that's fair. He's the quarterback. He gets the blame and he gets the.
But he's also.
When it's going well, though, he gets all the praise, too, right?
But he is not. It hasn't really gone well.
For, right?
He's the lowest rated quarterback in the league.
4-3.
It's
not time to panic, though.
He is rated lower than Blaine Gabbert.
And he's the number one in his division.
He is. But can you continue that with that type of quarterback play is the question.
We're going to find out.
I hope not. You're supposed to say it's going to get better.
I'm sure it'll get better.
Okay.
Sure,
yeah. All right.
It's gotten better.
All right.
Every week I think he's improving at something.
What are you improving with him this week?
I don't know yet. I got to watch the tape.
I think he's improving.
I got to hear what OB says about the side of the ball. But I'm sure there's some positive in there.
Okay.
Yeah. He's one man. He can't do everything, man. I'm pro Brock right now, baby.
Okay.
My quarterback. He's going to lead us to the promised land.
All the way.
Hopefully.
Okay.
No question. We got to play better on teams and on defense.
Did you ever play quarterback in high school or anything like that?
I did. I was like Michael Vick before.
So when you watch that film, you know what he's seeing and what. Yeah,
but it's a different level.
When you play quarterback, did you ever get to your second read, or were you one of those guys who, if your first read's not open, you go?
Yeah, I was an athlete, so I just. Yeah.
You just went?
Yeah, I just first read out there.
Boy, I wish Brock ran like a 4-4, something like that. He'd be able to do that.
Lamar Jackson type, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, he sees that first read, and then it's like, oh.
No, but I think we're going to be fine, man. I think it's not time to panic for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. We all got to play better.
All right. You got to play.
No question.
We got to get you out there.
No question.
You need a massage or what's happening?
First things first.
Ice bath? I'll help you. I'll rub your calf. It'll be totally hetero, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
No doubt, man.
Can we Facebook Live that?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Facebook Live.
Hey, man, I'm just thinking about ratings.
I'll wear a doctor costume so it all looks legit.
You would look so creepy in a doctor costume.
Yeah.
All right. We're way overdue for a break. It is the Q-Dip Show here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonette. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5, brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Q-Damp Show. We are at Saltgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. So if you want to come on out, meet Quentin, listen to the show, you can do it.
I said, get out of the way. You guys are doing great.
Yeah, you ain't said much, man. I mean, AJ got this thing.
I know. One of the great skills in this business is knowing when to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. So you say Twitter hates you, huh? I just got a bad comment on Twitter said I was contradicting myself.
Yeah, a lot.
I wish he'd call in and talk to us.
And you asked if I knew him. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know very many people on Twitter, but most people on Twitter don't have nice things to say about me, so I wouldn't feel too bad if I were you.
I don't feel bad at all.
No.
So what's up, man?
I got to ask you about the next game. I'm hoping that you're able to play because I think that the secondary is going to need all the bodies they can get. Matt Stafford has looked like he's looked like the way you would have expected him to look when he had Calvin Johnson. Yeah. Now he doesn't have Calvin Johnson, and somehow he has a white running back standing behind him.
Corsett's there too, right?
Yeah, he's not even playing. That Zinner guy, he's getting the carries.
Yeah, they have a high-powered offense for sure.
Man,
we definitely need all hands on deck in the secondary.
Yeah, you guys are, and I feel like, you know, when you prepare for a team like the Broncos, mm-hmm. It's one thing to prepare for good wide receivers, which you had to do this week. It's another to prepare for a good quarterback. And I still don't think Trevor Siemian's a good quarterback. So if you've got good wide receivers, and DeAndre Hopkins is a great example. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good wide receiver. But when you don't have a good quarterback, it doesn't matter. A really good quarterback without a really good wide receiver without a good quarterback is an average wide receiver.
Okay.
And a really average receiver with a good quarterback,
we see it in New England
can
all the time.
Be very good.
Yeah, we see it in New England all the time.
So I think, would you rather prepare for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas with Trevor Siemian throwing, or Golden Tate and whoever else is there with him?
I think
you got Matt Stafford,
I think for sure in this league on the back end, we play against the quarterback more than the receivers. Yeah, for sure.
And Matt Stafford's playing really as well as anybody.
Yeah, he is.
Let me ask you this first: does that kind of pressure you as far as getting healthy and getting out there? Does that sort of get that clock speeding up for you? Like, man, I really need to be there this week.
Well, just not only that, man. Just being out two games gets me antsy. You know, being out one game, you don't want to miss any games. But, you know, a big game like this, man, with a high power offense and a lot of us being hurt, man, definitely puts a little boost in my system to come on with it. You know, get healthy, do whatever I got to do to get on the field with my guys.
What you guys have done a good job of is, and this is happening again, where you sat down with us following a loss. And every time, though, after you've sat down with us, you guys have won the next game.
Okay.
Do you feel that extra pressure after losing a game like this? Do you think, and I'm not just asking just you, but I mean like
as a team,
do players in general feel
extra pressure?
Because fans are pissed right now. Everybody's up in arms. Twitter's probably, I mean, hell, Twitter's calling you whatever.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel extra pressure to win this week?
Yeah, but not because of fans, not because of anybody but ourselves, you know, and our goals and our expectations as a team. You know, we feel pressure because we don't want to lose two in a row. We don't want to lose at home. You know, we don't want to lose, period. And so, you know, we know that. And we got to come out on Sunday, man, to play good football. All three phases, for sure.
How much, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, when, and obviously had Vince and James came out talking about the fans leaving at the Colts game. And I think if things get off to a bad start with Brock, we heard some booing in that game, too.
Yeah.
How much, when you're on the field, how much does that affect what you're doing when you hear the home team start booing, and does that start getting in players' heads?
I don't think it gets in our heads. I think it definitely, you know, says a lot about our crowd more than anything. Granted that, you know, it's one thing for us to be affected by boos, but as long as we come out and do what we got to do, man, we don't really pay too much attention. I can't speak for everybody else, but I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. One bit, because I know I got a job. I got four quarters of football I got to play. If you boo or you clap, I don't care. I got to focus in and lock in and play good ball. So for me personally, it doesn't affect me at all. I can't speak for everyone else.
Got a couple from the listeners here that I want to throw your way. I've got to unfortunately scroll back down to them because you guys have started a quite long conversation about other stuff on Twitter.
Really?
You mentioned the guy on Twitter. How much attention do you pay to that? Do you just kind of laugh it off, or start getting into it? Do you block people a lot?
Yeah, my skin's pretty thick. You know, sometimes I kind of like, you know, use it as humor and kind of, you know, talk back with them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, who I don't care.
Normally during a game, you're not on Twitter.
Normally.
Last night, you're sitting at home
Right.
Or do you open up your Twitter and see what people are saying, or
no,
is that
you don't need that
in your life?
I open up and I may tweet something myself, but I don't go looking for what
you never are check your mentions. You never.
I didn't do it last night.
Okay,
but I'd be lying to you if I said if I never have.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't do it. I don't.
Is it? I mean, is it more difficult during a game, like especially a game like last night? Is it? I mean, to read things and not about you, obviously.
Yeah.
But people saying bad things about your teammates.
You know, you get the memes. You know, they pop up sometime.
Yeah.
I don't go looking for that stuff, you know, and I try to keep the young guys who are really into that off of that kind of stuff because it can be, you know, depending on you as a person, it can kind of be degrading, you know, it can kind of make you feel less confident, you know.
Yeah.
So, me personally, though, I don't do it. I don't feed into it at all. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Couple listener questions. Lauren the Aggie wants to know what the atmosphere is like in the locker room these days.
After a loss, it's not much energy, you know. For the first couple of days, and then you know, we have a team meeting. You know, OB will get our minds back, focus on the task at hand, and we'll come back and have energy and move on. You know, for sure, got to move on.
Are you guys? Is film day tomorrow? When you play a Monday night game?
Yeah. So Wednesday. So we work on Wednesday.
So Wednesday you see film.
Yeah.
Is that a? And obviously, it's not going to be a rough day for you, but is that a tense day for the people who didn't play well? I mean, is it a game where you're still getting your ass chewed 2 days after the fact?
Well, you know, it's tense because, you know, nobody wants to let the teammates down, and we got to go watch the tape with our teammates. And so, you know, it's one of those things, man, you kind of got to get your whooping, you know, and then once the film is off, once we corrected everything, we got to move on really, really, really quick. And so that's you know, that's what it's called being a pro. You got to move on.
When you have a bad game, do you kind of you kind of sink down in that chair a little bit?
I hate it.
It's the worst, right?
Sinking in the chair like a mug. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad feeling.
But then you feel bad for your boys too when you had a good game and you're trying to be happy.
Yeah.
And the dude next to you is slouched down in his chair. You kind of feel that pain, huh?
Yeah. You know, winning makes everything better. If you have a bad game and you won, you know, it makes everything better. But when you have a bad game and you lose it. It's one of the worst.
There's no medicine for it except winning next week.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only medicine.
All right, we got to take a very quick break, and then
I had a special segment I wanted to do with Quentin, but
we can't do that.
We decided against it. We're going to do that on the show tomorrow. I'm very excited about this segment. It's going to. I also think we need to be able to take calls for that.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
I want some input from different people on this topic. So we'll have a special segment tomorrow at some point.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at MyBookie, and they've extended that offer. The cool thing is the 100% bonus has been extended. Enter promo code FRED to activate it. They've just done it for one more week. And the cool thing is if you win, they actually pay you. I've dealt with a lot of sites and I've had a hard time getting paid, but this one is the only one that I use now. And it's not just because it's got in-game. It's not just because it has everything I want. It also has a full race book, and I love to play the ponies, too. And it's got all the bets that I love, and they pay off right away. So join now. Running out of time for this special. MyBookie will match your deposit with a 100% bonus. Just use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. You play, you win, you get paid. Ditch your bookie. Check out my bookie. Sign up today.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonette. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5, brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quentin Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Q-Damp Show out here at Saltgrass, 9110 Southwest Freeway. If you're just now leaving work and you want to come by and join us for... some awesome, awesome food at Saltgrass. And
great food.
I'm telling you, man. What did you have over there earlier?
I had chicken, sweet potato, some salad. I had bread, some water.
You're not a red meat guy?
I eat steak, for sure.
Okay.
I love steak.
You won't eat steak the night before a game, though, huh?
It slows you down? Nah, I don't believe in all that.
Oh, really?
Nah, I don't believe in that stuff.
Yeah, I'm,
everything's mental.
You're not careful about what you eat the day before the game?
No.
Really?
No.
You don't eat junk
food
and stuff, though, right?
What I drink. Not candy, for sure. Not candy.
Right,
sweets,
but you're not eating, like, chips.
I'm not going to have, you know, 25 cookies, but I may have a cookie or two or some chips or something.
You're a real athlete. That's a problem. I'm a phony athlete. I have to I have to eat broccoli and stuff before I compete because otherwise I'll be a big fat.
I used to be like that. And I've come to the conclusion that it's all in your mind.
Really?
Yeah.
It's all in my
ass. I had some bummy games eating broccoli.
Yeah.
I had some best games eating some fried chicken and some fries and cupcakes. So
that's the way to go, I guess.
It's mental, man.
It's more fun that way for sure.
No question. No stress.
You've been doing this for a while now, and you know, you talk about how much you hate missing games.
Yeah.
Is there a point where you start thinking, you know what, I might be closer to the end of this than I am the beginning?
Yeah.
And start thinking about...
What are you trying to say, Fred? Are you calling him an old man?
He has a legitimate question.
I think he's got a couple years left.
Great question.
But you really have a finite time left, because nobody plays for that long in this league.
No question, yeah.
Is that one of the reasons you hate missing these games? Because you've got... You know, a limited number of opportunities left, or is it also a matter of, hey, I got to start thinking about what I'm going to do after football, too?
No, I hate missing games because, you know, I feel like I mean something to the team. You know, I want to be there. I want to be that energy. I want to be that leader for the secondary that I know I am. And, you know, that's why I hate missing games, you know. But, you know, just being a realist, like I'm 31, you know, I can't play forever. You know, so for sure those thoughts come to mind, but... I know that I still got some good football in me.
Charles Woodson played till he was 78.
Yeah,
if you can do it, he could. If he could do it,
no
you
question.
Could do it.
No, but you know, it's you just hate missing games, man. A competitor, you know. Period.
Have you thought about what's going to come next, or are you still just totally focused on, hey, I'm going to play it out as long as I can?
Yeah, that's something I do in the off season. You know, for sure, I definitely think about it and you know, work towards it. But in season, you know, I'm locked in. Trying to win some ball games, man.
Do you think you'll, you know, and this is a tough question maybe, but when players start to lose it a little bit, do you think you can tell yourself, or do you think someone from the outside has to tell you that you've lost a step, you're not the player you used to be, or do you think that you'll be able to see it for yourself when it does happen?
I think it's more of yourself, because I've heard it go both ways. I've heard people telling you that, oh man, you look good, but you know deep down inside, like, man, nah, I lost.
You're not the same.
Yeah, so I think it's, man, it's a measurement of, you know, just being honest with yourself and feeling like that yourself.
I always feel like, especially for a guy, well, when you're making millions of dollars,
yeah,
everybody wants to think, oh, I can keep going. I'm still good enough to do this.
Yeah, this is about being real with yourself.
But I mean, do you think you're one of these guys who, once you start to feel it, you're going to want to get out of there,
once I feel like I can't perform at a high level. I'm not going to play with myself.
You're not going to come out there and be one of these guys that robs a paycheck and...
Nah, that's not in me.
Okay.
I got to give my 53 guys and my coaches my best.
Because that's what I'm doing. I stopped doing good radio about 3 years ago. I'm just here stealing a paycheck.
That's not true.
That's absolutely
true.
I'm a fraud.
That's not true. You're natural. Natural. Crazy.
I feel like I'm stealing a paycheck tonight.
That's right.
You guys are just rolling. I'm just sitting back enjoying
it. Said much, man.
I've noticed that, too. You are stealing today.
Hey, it happens.
That's all right, though.
Then maybe next week he and I get into it, and then you can sit back and relax.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the beauty of having a show like this is that, you know, sometimes I can just take an hour off and let you guys go after each other.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun to sit back and watch because he's asking good questions and you're giving answers the best you can with
best I can
with the limits.
He's putting me in the between a rock and a hard
place. I'm the worst. I'm not a professional.
I like
sorry.
It
because if you just answered him the way Coach O'Brien would, it'd be, well, we just got to play better and coach better.
Yeah, you guys would be mad at me. I say three words and you guys would be like, so I'm trying to give you more.
I would be mad at you for that.
I'm trying to give you more, but. You know, no, it's fun, man. I appreciate you guys.
But if you said it like Coach O'Brien did, you'd just blame everything on the coaches.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's what they do. They say it's all off. When you hear Coach O'B stand up,
I don't like that.
When he says, "Oh, it's all on us," you know damn well it's some of it's on you guys too, right?
Yeah, I think most of it's on us. You know what I'm saying? Like just me, just being a pro. Like I think, you know, not all of it, but I think most of it's on us because we. You know, we get paid to play, paid to perform.
But at the same time, it's kind of his job to sort of shield you guys from any criticism.
Yeah, he does a great job of that, no question. But
at some point, do you feel like maybe we should be getting some criticism?
Yeah, it's a one-on-one game. You got to win your one-on-one matchup, D-line, O-line, you know, tackle versus an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Corner versus a slot receiver. You know, so you got to win your one-on-ones, for sure.
I want to ask you a question about practices. When you guys, you know, when you're, as a defensive unit, when you're practicing, are you practicing against an offense that's mimicking what you're going to play? Or do you, during the season, not preseason, or,
yeah.
But are you playing the first team offense to try to help them get ready? In general, what do you guys do just to get yourselves ready for a game on Sunday in actual practice?
Yeah, we definitely prepare against, you know, what we've seen on tape that the other team does. And sometimes OB may throw a wrinkle in there where we go, you know, one-on-one against the offense. You know, ones versus ones and, you know, speed on speed, you know, versus going against practice squad guys and stuff like that. So it just depends on how he's feeling that week. And but for the majority of the time, we're going against, you know, scout team and running the opponent's plays that week.
Is that what you find most helpful game week in terms of practice?
Yeah, well, that's all you can do. It's only 53 of us.
Yeah.
We can't go. It's not training camp anymore. It's not 90 of us. So,
do you think one of the things that's been thrown out, and if they went to 18 games, which I think would be stupid, but expanding the rosters anyway, do you think there's room for another 5 players even on a practice squad?
I believe so. I'm all for it, man. I think so. I don't see why not. Because it ends up happening anyway, especially with injury. Like, you bring in more guys in and you got to release more guys, so you might as well start off with more guys anyway.
You know, on a day like yesterday where you got to sit at home on the couch and kind of take it in a little bit, did you watch it at home or at the facility? Like, were you there getting treatment and stuff, or did you get to go home and watch some football?
Yeah, I was able to watch it at home.
Did you watch anybody else play?
Monday night?
No, I mean on Sunday.
The whole Sunday.
Yeah.
I watched all the games. Well, most of them, the ones that came on.
Who impresses you? Who do you like? Who are the teams that have impressed you so far this season from what you've seen? Who's a good team in the NFL right now?
I think the Chargers.
Really?
I like the Chargers.
Chargers are in last place.
I like the Chargers.
And you like them?
I do. I think they're playing.
That was a good win for them this week.
At a high level. Consistently. For me. I know offensively they are, for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's going on with defense, but every time I see them, Phillip Rivers is connecting with a touchdown.
Yeah.
They're averaging, what, 25 points a game?
Yep. And Joey Bosa is playing well now that he's there, too.
Yeah.
If they would have had that guy all season, who knows where they'd be.
Right. And the Seahawks, they always play good defense. They're playing really, really good defense.
But you got to admit, you watched that game on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You're saying, what the hell is this? Were you not? I mean, I was.
I'm a defensive guy now.
Listen, I'll give credit because there was some good defense played in that game. There was also some really
bad
offense
really
being played,
offense.
Too.
That's true.
I mean, bad kicking. There was a lot. You always talk about three phases. There was one phase happening that night, and even that was mostly because the other phase was so awful.
Yeah.
Is it fun for you to watch that?
It is.
Okay.
It is, especially when I see DBs making plays. You know, that makes me even more, you know, itchy to get out there, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. So, seeing Earl make plays, you know, Tyron make
you
plays.
You like Earl?
I like Earl a lot. He's a good player.
I can tell.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Got a couple more listener questions. Nick wants to know if you had a chance to hear the Bennett Brothers interview on ESPN.
I saw snippets of it, man. I think they crazy. They are crazy, man. I mean, but she, you know, I respect it.
You got any former teammates you want to take a crap on real quick?
Maybe a few.
Okay.
Drop that ether. A few old heads, man. When I back in my Eagle days.
Okay.
A couple guys, man. But you know, just cornball stuff.
Sam Bradford?
It happens.
You could say it.
No, man.
Oh, you weren't there with him, were you?
No, that's 08, 09.
Oh, yeah, he was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I forget how old you are.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's my ninth year, man.
Yeah. You're a veteran.
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's music in the background.
That's it for today?
Well, we got one more
second. Don't try to get out of here.
No, yeah. I need another hour.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break.
I got some more to say.
One.
I'm just now warming up, babe.
One more segment to go. It is Q-Dep Show here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This
is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Sawgrass Steakhouse off 59 in between Gessner and Bissonette. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you in part by Acme Party Intent. Here's Quinton Demps with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Q-Damp Show.
Yeah, we're back.
Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M Coaches Show at 7 tonight. And so we got 5 minutes. You got to bring it strong, man.
This is Evan Sumlin going to have his first post loss show. It's all been rainbows and unicorns for Summy. He's got some splaining to do now. Although I don't know, I don't think Aggie fans too upset about that. I think losing to Bama is just kind of a
yes. It's, you just kind of got to
whoever's on your schedule. You whisper in their ear and hope that it ends quickly.
Yeah.
Because you know
let's
you're
get out healthy, right?
You know you're going to get it.
Get out healthy.
You know you're going to get it.
Look at the flowers.
You guys are good.
Your boys, UTEP, they won about a, what was it, 4 or 5 overtimes?
Yeah, I saw that down in UTSA. Down in
boy, that's a tough place to win, too.
Yeah.
And that would have been, when you play 4 overtimes and lose,
oh, that's
man, that's bad.
At home?
That's a bad feeling.
Yeah, that's the worst.
So it's good for your boys to win that game.
Shout out to those guys, man. They play good football.
What's the longest game you ever played in?
I think 3 overtimes.
You've been involved in a tie since you've been in the league?
No.
None?
Nope. No ties.
Man.
Wait. Maybe. It was a big deal with me, Nab, not knowing the rules 1 year.
2008.
Was it a tie that game?
There was a tie in that game.
So, yeah, I've been a part of that tie.
You were on that team?
I was on that team.
Man, yeah, that's a...
against the Bengals.
I don't like that. I don't like ties in the NFL. That's why I was so mad about that Seahawks-Cardinals game. I just, like, if I'm going to invest, you know, 3 hours into a game, I want there to be some sort of solid outcome where somebody's sad and somebody's happy.
A tie is just like...
That's no good, man.
Yeah.
That's no good. But it's better than having, like, you know... I don't think especially that game. I don't think they needed to play any more overtime. That was a bad game. I didn't want to watch anymore. So maybe sometime if it goes to a tie, then you probably know it, we don't need to see any more of this.
Yeah.
So, how many guys do you think don't know the actual overtime rules when that happened with Donovan?
I think it was quite a few at the time.
Yeah. Well, they've changed since.
They've changed since then.
And they always explain it to you now, which I guess is. Part of that is that when you go into the overtime, they tell you exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Do you like overtime the way it works now where both teams get a shot?
I think it's better than the sudden death, for sure. I think it's better than the sudden death. Even though it is kind of sudden death if the team goes down to score
if they score a touchdown.
But I think it's, giving another chance to the other team, I think that's helpful for sure.
I was watching the game last night, and I thought that initially I thought the refs got it wrong when they called Osweiler, when they said it was a fumble.
Yeah.
When the ball went forward.
Right.
But then I watched the replay in slow motion, and the ball was – he had really lost the ball before he threw it.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is it to make a call like that, would you think, in real time? And, is that the reason why, as a defensive guy, every time the ball's on the ground, you jump on it?
Yeah, we're taught to pick it up.
Anyway?
Because you never know. Yeah, you never know.
Because if the Broncos would have just said, oh, that's an incomplete pass – then there's no immediate recovery, then it's still Texans' ball.
Yeah, the refs, they have a tough job, for sure.
That's crazy to me. I mean, that they were able to see that in real time. Because in real time, I said, no, that was just a really crappy pass.
Yeah.
But it turned out that ball was out of his hand before his arm went forward. I mean, that's got to be a tough call to make on the field, in real time.
Yeah. No question.
Well, this would affect you. One of the things that's come up is... the possibility, it's been working in the Canadian League, so I know the NFL's talked about it a little bit, about having making pass interference a reviewable call, in that you could look at it and you could challenge if it doesn't happen, you could challenge if it does. Mm-hmm. How do you think that would be a good thing, or would that just be delaying the game even more with more challenges?
I don't think you should do it all over the field. I think maybe it should be like a red zone, end zone type thing, touchdown type thing. I don't think all over the field you should do that every time you get a flag, because a lot of times it's a flag, depending on who, it goes both ways though, it should be a flag on both sides. We get them more, but I think if I had it my way, I would make it a thing where inside the red zone I'll review the pass interference thing.
It's interesting because that's such a punitive penalty, man. You can get 60 yard
now that's a spot foul, especially.
That's true.
All right, that's gonna wrap it up. Great stuff as always, and since you were on
Thank
with
you,
us,
brother.
That means you're going to win this week.
Nice.
All right.
We will be back at studio tomorrow. Great job, Jung Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. World-class job, Quentin Demps. We will see you guys tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy.
ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.